Are you ready to dive into the stories, stats, and personalities that make baseball the greatest game in the world? Rob Bradford from the Baseballs and Boring podcast here, and we'll have you covered every day with podcasts that bring you closer to the action, from the bleachers to the clubhouse. Whether you're a diehard fan or just a casual observer, these conversations are aimed to educate, entertain, and most importantly, inform you. Follow the Baseballs and Boring podcast in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
33 seconds to go, and Pickett will take the football and take the knee, and that's going to round it up. We will count down these seconds for you.
That'll do it, boys
and girls. They are jamming the field. 18, 17, 16, 12, 11, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. It's over. The Philadelphia Eagles have won Super Bowl 59. They have beaten the Kansas City Chiefs 40-22. It's their second Super Bowl win in 7 years. What a game. What a season. What a team. The greatest Eagles team in modern history. Eagles fans, savor it and rejoice.
Oh, I love it. On this Friday morning, probably weren't expecting that because, you know, we haven't played in like 2 or 3 months, but we're making the turn really soon to a coming Eagles season, at least training camp variety, 11 days away. And the Diddy, of course, will be all over it. We love having Ray Diddy on the show. And we had a turn to Ray, it feels like, in, I don't know, a month and a half, 2 months. I mean, maybe as far back as the NFL draft. I'm really not sure, but it's always a good day to talk to the legend, the Hall of Famer, Mr. Ray Dittinger. Ray Diddy, how are you, sir?
I'm doing fine, Joe. You're right. It's been a while. It was, I think the last time I was on with you was like right after the draft. And then
probably, yeah.
And I think that was it. We went back and we did a look at the draft and, of course, look at the season and just savored it. And I think the last thing I said to you was I was urging all the fans to just enjoy. Just enjoy. You know, there's time enough down the road to worry about defending your championship. This offseason was about enjoying it. And I heard Merle's statement about this is the greatest Eagles team in modern history, and that's what you got. I mean, you really do. I mean, you are number one. And it hasn't been very often, if ever, in the history of Eagles football that their fan base could say that legitimately,
sure,
that you're the best team in the league. But they were. And so hopefully the fans enjoyed it in the off season because, you know, you're right. Less than 2 weeks away, they go to training camp and the challenge begins anew.
Sure does. So Ray, speaking of messages to fans, let me real quick before I get to that. How are you? Because we haven't talked in a while. How's life?
Great, great. I've had a really fun off season. Very, very busy off season. I was just telling James I finished the rewrite and revision of the Eagles Encyclopedia.
Good. That's great.
I went four. This is the fourth edition.
Nice.
It wasn't in the plans. I mean, I wasn't planning to do another one, but the Eagles sort of changed things by winning another Super Bowl, so I had to go back and update it. I had to turn. I was telling James I had to turn a 561-page book around in 5 weeks. So,
oh, my good Lord.
So that does... So that was made for a very busy off season, and I wrote another play. So I've kept myself busy.
Good for you. When is the book available? Is it currently available, or is that in the next couple months?
You can pre-order it if you go to Amazon. The title of this one is Eagles Encyclopedia Champions 2, Roman
wow.
numeral 2.
Love it.
And so you can find it on Amazon, and you can go and pre-order it, and it will be available in October, early October. But you
did you? That's wonderful. Ray, did you change the cover? Which was last time the last parade. Is it a different parade photo, or what do you have on the cover now?
We talked about it, I loved the last cover. I loved the parade cover because I thought when they finally won the Super Bowl, I really thought the story of that winning the Super Bowl, I mean, yes, it was about the team, and yes, it was about the players, and it was about Foles, and it was about, you know, all of that. But I thought on a larger scale, it was about the city and what it meant to the city and what it meant to this fan base. It had never had that moment before. And so I argued very strongly for, you know, I think the cover should be a photo with a parade and just show everybody enjoying this. Because I thought the city celebration and what it meant to the fans was a big part of the story. So we went with that on the cover, and I thought it was a great cover. And we could have done that again, because certainly there were a lot of fan pictures and a great parade this year. But I said I thought there was one image of this season that sort of defined the season. And I thought it was the Barkley Leap. And so that's what's on the cover of the book.
You know what's so funny about that, Ray? I have the same exact photo on the cover of my book. I hear you. And that's awesome. And that'll obviously denote to people, and this is key for your book, hey, this is a new edition. Like, just in case they miss certain words on the cover, hey, this is updated. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a really wise choice. Well, Ray, we want to encourage everyone that's listening right now, because I have the prior edition. This is going to be spectacular, spectacular plus. So everyone listening, what a great gift this will make for someone that you love or to buy for yourself. Pre-order now. We'll, of course, get it, you know, October, November, December, in the lead-up to the holiday season. Amazon.com, Ray's book. That is awesome. All right, Ray, let's talk about the coming season. So you had a message that you said there early in this discussion about what you said a few months ago to fans. What would be your message to fans, to listeners now, overarching message from the Diddy to the masses about the coming season, what they should think and what they should have in mind?
Well, I would say two things. Number one, this is the first time in my experience being around this team, which is more than half a century. But you can honestly, truthfully say, put fandom aside and just look at realistic, what's real, and say you're going into this season as the best team in football. You know, I mean, you never said that before. I mean, they had teams that came off Super Bowls before. But going into the next season, very few people were saying, yeah, this is the team. You know, it just wasn't the case. Well, it is now. They're the best. And I think you talk to anybody around the league, they will say that. Even with free agency and even with the people that you lost, this is still the best team. I really do believe that. So you've never been in this position before where you are number uno going into the season on the eve of training camp. But you are now. So that's a good place to start. The other part of it is understand the challenge that you are undertaking. Because the Eagles have come off four Super Bowls before, and the next season has always been a time, you know, a very bumpy that next year. They've never even gotten back to a championship game in that next year. And it's hard. I mean, it's hard to do back-to-back. And the league doesn't make it easy for you. Their schedule, I think their schedule is brutal.
It is
brutal. The way it lays out is brutal. I'd have to look this up. I can't remember a championship team that has ever gone into the following season and never had back-to-back home games on their schedule. I mean, that's crazy. I don't think we've ever dealt that.
It's never happened. It's never happened. This is the first time the Super Bowl champ has not had back-to-back home games.
Well, that's what I thought, James. I mean, I didn't go all the way back to the Decatur Staleys in my research, but I mean, in terms of what we call modern history, I don't ever remember it happening. So that's a challenge. The schedule's crazy. They're playing Mondays. They're playing Thursdays. They're playing Fridays, Saturdays. It's going to be a really weird season. For the first time, they're going to have to deal with Hard Knocks. They're going to have to deal with the cameras in the meeting rooms, the cameras in the locker rooms, and we know how that's affected some teams. So that's going to be a challenge. You got a lot of teams with revenge.
Are you ready to dive into the story, stats, and personalities that make baseball the greatest game in the world? Rob Bradford from the Baseballs and Boring podcast here, and we'll have you covered every day with podcasts that bring you closer to the action, from the bleachers to the clubhouse. Whether you're a diehard fan or just a casual observer, these conversations are aimed to educate, entertain, and most importantly, inform you. Follow the Baseballs and Boring podcast in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast.
That are coming after you. The Rams were going to be a challenge. Washington, they're going to be a challenge. Week two, you're going to have Kansas City. You're going to be walking into Arrowhead. I mean, it is a very, very tough schedule. But, I mean, right now I think they've got the best team, and we'll just see how they deal with it.
Ray, I think one of the more interesting dynamics going into the season is the relationship between Nick Sirianni and Kevin Petullo. And there's potential upside there, and there's potential downside there. If it's not going well and people are second-guessing the play calling, oh, the hammer, pardon the phrase, will come down on Sirianni. Because most people believe, and I think rightfully so, he was the moving force in Petullo getting this job. Likes the guy, coming off a Super Bowl victory. You're going to give the coach what he wants. If Petullo isn't great, will he be second-guessed? If the Eagle offense isn't producing the way it's supposed to, will it fall at Kevin Petullo's footsteps, or will it fall at the guy who basically handed him the job?
I think both. I think they will be a big microscope on Petullo because he's being put in a position that he's never been before, where he's been the main play caller. He and Nick have history. I mean, they work together in Indianapolis. They seem to have a really good relationship. But that's one of the things that if you have a worry, and it's Jody, it's you put your finger right on the thing that I've been thinking about a lot as we get close to training camp and the start of the season is that whole thing, is that new offensive coordinator thing. Because the Eagles coming off Super Bowls before have lost offensive coordinators, and it's always hurt them. And now you're going to have to make that same transition again, and is this one going to go better? And it's going to be a challenge right from the start. I mean, initially, even if Kevin Petullo is really good, even if he has a really good relationship with Jalen Hurts and everything is kind of simpatico, there's still going to be that adjustment period. There's still going to be that early in the season, they're still going to be working things out. And the early part of the season doesn't give you any slack. I mean, you open with the Cowboys, and people say that's going to be an easy game. Oh, okay, is it? I don't know. I mean, and then the next three games to me are just killers. I mean, you got to go play Kansas City in Week 2. You got to play the Rams in Week 3, who are coming off double revenge against you, and almost ended your season last year. And then you got to go to Tampa to play the Bucs, and the Eagles never win in Tampa. So that's the challenge is going to be there for everybody at the start of the season just because of the way the schedule lays out. But I think the biggest focus is going to be on the quarterback and the offensive coordinator and how their relationship. And it would be nice if you had three or four fairly easy games early in the season to kind of work through the kinks and figure everything out and then hit the tough part of your schedule. But the fact is the tough part of your schedule is there from day one.
Yeah, KC week two really blows up that concept. Then again, the Eagles blew up KC, you know, 4 months ago or so. And of course, great to hear the voice of the legend, Ray Diddy, who we hadn't talked in a while, talking some Eagles football here with us. Ray, let's talk about the parts of the team by way of the units. And I'm curious which unit you think will be stronger this year, the offense or the defense? The reality is you can normally just kind of tell. Now, you can look at stats, or you can have the eye test. And last year on either measurement, it was obvious the defense was better. But the defense has lost players. The offense is largely the same with the exception of Becton. Which unit this year do you expect to be stronger?
I would probably say the offense. And I think the defense has a lot of stuff that needs to work out. I mean, you got a lot of new faces. And I think they've got the people to do it. But I would say the offense. I mean, you're bringing back 10 of your 11 starters, and none of whom had like any surgery in the offseason, which is a big thing. I mean, that's rare. I mean, you're coming back and you got 10 of your 11 starters coming back, and they're all coming back healthy. None of them are coming in walking boots. None of them are coming in with the hospital band still on their wrist. I mean, they're all coming in healthy, and that's a huge plus. And, there is the issue with the offensive coordinator. But, I mean, offensively, I think they should be very good. And defensively, you're going to have to put some new pieces on the field, and you're going to have to find a way to make them work. But in Vic Fangio, you have a coach who's been doing that for 40 years. So I think they're going to be fine over there. But if you ask me right now, which unit do I think is the strongest? Yeah, I mean it's the offense. I mean, is there a concern about Saquon Barkley this year? I don't know. I mean, some people have mentioned it to me, and you look back. I mean, if you look at the season in total, in regular season plus postseason, I mean, the guy had 500 touches last year. How much is there a carryover of that? Now, if anybody can handle that kind of load and be whole after it, it's probably Saquon Barkley. But that's still a huge workload.
Sure.
And one of the things coming into this year is, you know, how will Kevin Petullo and Nick Sirianni monitor Barkley over the course of this season? Dylan can probably share the load some because you lost Gainwell, but they're going to have to be a little bit careful with Barkley, that they be aware of what he did last year and don't necessarily ask him to do the same thing again this year. But the offensive line, which has been the power source for this team now for a long time, is still largely intact. I mean, they're going to replace Becton, but I think that the rest of those guys are so good. This team right now, the NFL game, over time, you do win in the trenches. I mean, it's a cliche. I mean, it's been going back forever, but it's been true forever. If you can't win there, you can't win.
Yeah.
And this team right now is the best in football at winning those battles. And listen, don't minimize the fact that they got a huge victory that I didn't think they were going to get in the league retaining the tush push. I mean, I did not think they were going to have that in the playbook coming into this year. I really thought the league was going to take it away. I was surprised, happily so, that it survived. And I don't know that it'll survive after this year. But they've got it for this year, and I think that, you know, in my view, they're 1-0 going into the season, because that was a win I didn't think they were going to get.
I agree with you on that. Ray, let's talk about Jalen Hurts. So much is said, and much of it is complimentary. Some of it is critical. He obviously has done a remarkable job, I mean, to say the least, given the fact that he was a second-round pick and has led them to two Super Bowl appearances and one victory. But there's consternation there. You know it. You hear it. James Seltzer thinks he's the second-best quarterback in pro football right now. I think he's the fifth-best. And when I say fifth-best, people come down on me like I'm being disrespectful. Where do you come down on what Jalen is, what he'll become, and the conversation that surrounds the entire thing?
Well, I think he's become it. The question that you ask about any quarterback in any city in any situation is, can this guy win you a Super Bowl? That's where you start at that position. That you look at that guy and you say, can this guy win me a Super Bowl? Well, he's answered that question. He got you there twice, and just a few months ago he won it and he was the MVP. And so that big question he's already answered. Now, is he everybody's idea of the ideal quarterback? Does he fit the quote-unquote prototype? Yeah, probably not. But the fact is that he does all the things that you need a quarterback to do to win games. I would certainly put him, I would have him closer to 2 than 5 if I were rating. And I think that, he has been a guy throughout. You go back to Alabama, then you follow him to Oklahoma, then you come here. And the one thing that's been constant throughout, coaches change, situations change, playbooks change. The one thing that doesn't change is the fact this guy wins. I mean, he wins. People shouldn't forget the fact that in the Super Bowl, Steve Spagnuolo built his whole game plan in Kansas City. We're taking Barkley away.
Yeah.
We're not going to let Barkley run wild in this game. We're just not. We're going to see if Jalen Hurts can actually come into this game and win it. And he did. Everything you needed him to do in that game, he did. And even if you looked at the metrics of the passing, and I know people still question his accuracy and is he a prototype quarterback? I mean, I had a big discussion with a guy a couple months ago who said that he would take Justin Herbert over Jalen Hurts right now. And I said, look, I'd like Justin Herbert, too. I mean, you're talking about the prototype quarterback. That's it. I mean, in terms of his size, in terms of his arm, in terms of his release, in terms of his mechanics, he's got all that. But he doesn't have what Jalen Hurts has. He's not won a Super Bowl. I mean, understand what this guy is and appreciate him for what he is. And I think that, I don't know in terms of – is he ever going to lead the league in yards? Probably not. Is he ever going to lead the league in touchdown passes? Probably not. But the fact is, he's going to win you a ton of games, and he's proven that over time. And I think that winning that game last year and being the MVP and winning the game the way he won it and beating the team that he beat that was going for a third straight Super Bowl and beating the number one quarterback in Mahomes, I think that was huge for him. And I think he comes into this season feeling really good about himself and understanding the challenge, fully understanding the challenge. But I think he's ready for it.
Diddy, when someone as well-respected as Ray Dinger comes on the WIP morning show and says the Philadelphia Eagles enter the season as the number one football team in the NFL and maybe have never done that before, that to me equates to a whole lot of expectations that the bar is really high going into this season. And when you have those kind of expectations, it comes along with major pressure.
Sure.
Tell me why this team is up to handling maybe more pressure than the organization has ever handled before.
Well, that's everything you said there, is Jody, is 100% true and accurate. And it is a position that this team has never been in before. The head coach has never faced this. The quarterback has never faced this. The ownership, the front office, has never faced it. They're the best. They are number one going into the season. And all the challenges that you normally associate with that has fallen on other teams over the years. You know, going back to the Steelers and the Dolphins and, you know, more recently the Patriots and, you know, even more recently than that, the Chiefs, that have been in that position, none of them have found it easy. Some of them have been able to overcome it. But, I mean, and the fact is it starts with the offseason. You know, you lose coaches. I mean, you lost Kellen Moore. That's big. You know, you're drafting at the bottom of the draft, even though Howie Roseman does a really good job of working the board. Fact is, you're not picking 1, 2, 3. You're just not. That's not the way it's set up. And then the schedule comes out, and you know it's going to be tougher. And then there's just the human nature aspect of it. I mean, there's just the human nature aspect of it. I mean, you've had this off season to just celebrate and to just enjoy. And, you know, and you're getting the big ring. And, you know, guys are getting new contracts. And everywhere they go, there's the acclaim. But with that comes, you know, the next season rolls around, and now the expectation is there. Can you go do it again?
Mm-hmm.
And it's a really, really, really hard thing to do. And I've seen teams go through it. I've seen great teams go through it. And I think the coaches that have been best at handling it are the coaches that just deal with it honestly. And go to training camp and don't talk around it. I mean, don't pretend that it isn't there. You know, that elephant is in the room, and just be straight up with it. You know, hey guys, everybody's coming out to get us, and look at this schedule. I mean, nobody's doing us any favors, but that's the challenge. But I think we have the team in this room that can go out and do it. And don't just try to say, oh, this is going to be like every other year. No, it's not. It's not. In no way will it be. The fact is that it's that great a challenge. But if people think that they have enough good players to overcome it, and I do, then just go out and do it. But the challenge starts in, 11 days? And, I mean, it's going to be tough. I mean, it is going to be really, really tough. But I think this team is good enough to do it. And I think the quarterback is, if anything, I think the quarterback's looking forward to this challenge and proving that, you know, that he can be that guy once again. Not just for one day, not just for one season, but for a career. I think he's ready to build on what he did last season. I really do.
Deep dive here with Ray on the Eagles. And we'll be doing a lot of this in the coming weeks, obviously. I mean, there's so much we won't get to today, but trying to get to as much as we can. So, Ray, I'm struck by something you have said a few times on the show here in the last 15 minutes. You've said a couple times they are number one. And you know, I want to take you inside something, an exchange James and I had about 2 weeks ago on the show. 2 weeks ago, I said the Eagles are not the champions. And James was not happy with me when I said that. And I said they're the defending champions. But I do not now consider the Eagles the champions. I consider them the defending champions. Now, this is like a philosophical question. And Plato, Socrates, and Aristotle could have had a field day with this one. But I'm returning to you. Are the Eagles the champions, or are they just now the defending champions? Because I hear you saying number one, and that can be interpreted two ways. That can be interpreted they currently have the best team in football as I project it, or they had the best team in football last year as proven on the field. So I'm just going to ask you this question. Are the Eagles the champions, and when are they not?
When somebody beats them. They're the champions until somebody knocks them off, and that doesn't happen until the end of the season. It has to play out.
So, do I disagree, Ray. So you're saying
Ray,
if they're 3-5...
You're a wise man, Ray.
If they're 3-5, they're the champions? I mean, they're still eligible to make the playoffs, but they're the champions? That, to me, is
sure.
The defending champions.
No. Now you're the champion. Until you've been eliminated, until it's been taken, you know, until you're flat on the back, until you're flat on your back on the canvas and they've counted you out, you're the champ. I mean, that's just the way it works, and that's the way it should work. I mean, you've earned that. But I don't foresee that. I think this season is going to be tough. But the one thing, you know, the one thing that I when I think back over the four other times that this team has been in this position, coming off a Super Bowl, they only won it once, but they've been there four times. That next year tended to be a very unhappy year.
Yeah. Are you ready to dive into the stories, stats, and personalities that make baseball the greatest game in the world? Rob Bradford from the Baseballs and Boring podcast here, and we'll have you covered every day with podcasts that bring you closer to the action, from the bleachers to the clubhouse. Whether you're a diehard fan or just a casual observer, these conversations are aimed to educate, entertain, and most importantly, inform you. Follow the Baseballs and Boring podcast in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast.
Yep. And I just, the feeling that almost from the beginning there was this feeling that things weren't quite right, that maybe we weren't the best team last year, but we kind of got there, and there wasn't this feeling of real confidence that we are all of that. That shouldn't be the case this year, because I think you are. But understand that in this town, with the focus that's on, spotlight that's always on this team, with the expectation that's going to be following this team, with the fact that the whole league is gunning for you, and all of that, it's, you know, you have to understand that it's going to be, I just hope there's not a whole lot of drama. You know, I just hope that we can just concentrate on football. But listen, if they stumble out of the blocks this year, you know, let's say they beat the Cowboys, but let's say they go to Kansas City and get whacked, and then they come home, which could happen. I mean, the Chiefs have been looking forward to this game since the day the schedule came out, and the Chiefs have not gone away. I mean, they're going to be ready for you week two, and then you kind of got to play week three back home against the Rams, and the Rams had a really good off season, and I think that they're going to be really good this year, and they're coming in here with something to prove too. And if somehow this team finds itself at 1-2, the whole mood of the city could shift, you know, and I would hate to see that happen. But you have to be prepared for what is going to be a very challenging offseason. It's going to come invariably with ups and downs, even as good as I think this team is. And I think just emotionally, we say the team has to be able to weather it, but I think the fans have to be able to weather it too, because the last times the Eagles have been in this position, now the T.O. year, you kind of have to take it out because the whole T.O. thing was a scenario unto itself.
Yeah.
But I mean, the Eagles have been in this position before, and that next year has tended to be a challenging and very, very contentious kind of year, which has accounted for the fact of why they weren't been able to do it back-to-back.
Absolutely.
They're going to have to be able to overcome it, but I think that this year they have the best personnel they've had to face that challenge.
Yeah, I agree with that. I do. I'll say this, Ray. I've made a point in my life to never disagree with you. I do disagree with you on the champions thing, and I'll cite two things. One is Jahad Campbell's not a champion in the NFL. And, you know, 15 or 20 other players that joined the team. And the other thing is, I feel 1,000% confident that if I ask Nick Sirianni, are you the champions, he would say no. But listen, I could be wrong, but that's just my
player and a coach, though. They have to have a different mentality than what fans should have.
Guys, I mean, they go to training camp in 11 days.
They're the reigning champions until they are out.
No, no, no. I agree with that. They're the reigning champions. They're the defending champions. I don't believe the 2025 Eagles, which start in 11 days,
this are the champions.
This
you're just talking
no,
semantics
no, no, no,
now.
It's not
you
semantics.
Are. This is semantics.
No, it's not. The question was, are the Eagles the champions? I believe they are not.
They are.
But anyway, okay.
You're down 0-4 here.
That's fine. I'll take it on, and maybe we'll talk about it in a future show. It's just the way I look at it. All right, Ray, final thing.
If they're not the champions, then who is?
Nobody.
Great question.
We've got a new year. It's a whole new year.
I could know going forward.
I think it ended.
What's the date?
Around March, April.
Good. All right, that's a real defined date. That's great.
Well, I mean, you know, free agency, the draft, like you're onto a new thing. That's the way I define it.
Okay.
Ray, final thing. Curious, you know, because you brought up a lot of examples where things can just get weird after you win. This is a weird one. Do you find it annoying and or a little potentially problematic that the ring ceremony, because the rings were delayed coming in, is not until I think it's 2 or 3 days before training camp, which is something a team normally gets out of the way way, way before training camp. Is that irritating, and is that potentially a little clunky?
No. No, I don't think so. I don't think so. You know, you get the ring when you get the ring. I don't think there's any prescribed right time or ideal time to do it. Just, I mean, that's... I've been to a couple of those ring ceremonies when I was at NFL Films. We used to shoot them. And they're something, boy. They really are. If you've been to one and you've seen it, you never forget it. I mean, everybody knows it's happening. Everybody knows it's coming. You know, it's on the calendar. There's a big party. I remember Robert Kraft always used to have it. He used to pitch like his big tent outside in the yard outside his house, and everybody would gather there, and it was beyond spectacular. And you know, everybody knows what they're coming there for. They're coming there to get their ring. But that moment when they hand it to you and you open it up, I mean, it's, you know, I've seen Brady get 6 of them, and he gets emotional every time. I mean, it's really what it's about. I mean, this is really what you've been playing for. And even if you've gotten 1, 2, 3, 4, whatever, that moment when they hand it to you and you open it up and it's there, man, it is powerful. And when you're in the room and those guys get them, I mean, it is. If you've been there, you'll never forget. I swear you'll never forget it. And I kind of think it's cool that you're getting it right on the eve of training camp, because I think that is a huge jump start for this team, because right there on the eve of when all of the sweat and all the hard work and all the pain and all the and all the grief of training camp, what it brings, this is a wonderful thing to have right before you go. I actually think it kind of works in their favor. It'll be a great night for those guys. They've earned it. A lot of these guys, it's the first one, I think it's a tremendous thing to kind of get them jump started going into what figures to be a very challenging season, but I think a season where this team has a chance to do something it hasn't done since the days of Steve Van Buren and Chuck Bednarik, and that's win it back-to-back. I think they have a chance to do it.
Ray, I know we have you on WIP for your football knowledge and expertise, but I need to know what we're watching. What's the best movie Ray Dittinger's seen?
Yes,
in 2025?
Great question, Jody.
I thought you were going to ask a Phillies question. That was a curveball right there.
The best movie I've seen? I went to see F1.
So good, week. Right, Ray?
I thought it was terrific. It, I mean, as a technical achievement, and by the way, I would say this, for anybody that's going to go see it in IMAX.
100%. Mm-hmm. And in the theater, if nothing else. Don't wait for it at home. Do not.
Yeah, don't wait to see it at home, because I don't care how good your home TV is. there's nothing like seeing F1 in IMAX. I mean, if you ever wondered what it's like to sit in the cockpit of a Formula One car driving on the bank track at Monza in Italy, man, this movie takes you there. I mean, you feel it. I mean, you feel it, all of it. And you know, Brad Pitt, who I think is a really underrated actor. People think he's just a pretty boy, but I think he's a really good actor, and he's very good in this one. And the technical stuff, the cinematography, the sound, all of it is an achievement. I mean, even if you're not a racing fan, if you ever had the curiosity of what it feels like to be behind the wheel of a Formula One car, go see F1 and go see it in IMAX, and you will not be disappointed.
Couldn't agree more.
Let me say this.
Joe, made by the director of Top Gun Maverick, too. Same
let
director.
Me say
exactly.
This.
And it has the same feel. If you saw Top Gun Maverick, all those flight scenes, all that aerial combat stuff, that's exactly what this is. He brought all of that same stuff, that you are there kind of feeling. He brought all of that to this and put it on the racetrack, and it's pretty spectacular.
Mr. Diddy, sir, the third thing that I largely disagree with you on today.
You didn't like F1?
I agree the technical stuff. I agree with all of that. The lack of character development is what made it such not Top Gun. I mean, Top Gun,
think Pitt was good?
No, I thought Pitt was great. He was great. He was great. Character development. Okay. The key to Top Gun, the original, was, you know, you got this guy and his father had died and he's fighting and he's trying to kind of come through that reality and be a fighter pilot. And like,
what's the same story for Brad Pitt's character in Step One?
There was so much more character development in both Top Guns than this one. So I agree with you, Ray, on the visuals, the sounds. I agree with that. But I thought the movie dramatically lacked a lot. But anyway. All right, Diddy, wonderful. Wonderful catching up. We'll talk to you much more again soon because we got to get inside the linebackers and the Kobe and all these guys. And so there's a ton to do. Ray, we'll do it in the coming weeks. Have a wonderful next few days. And everyone, buy Ray's book. Again, it's the Eagles Encyclopedia.
Pre-order.
Pre-order. Right. Eagles Encyclopedia Champions 2 edition with Saquon on the cover. And knowing what the first one was, I can guarantee people this is a true masterpiece that will live on forever in Philadelphia sports with the history of the Eagles going back to the very beginning. So please buy it. You'll love it. It makes a great gift for yourself or another. Ray, stay well, bud. We'll talk to you very soon.
Okay, look forward to it. Take care, guys.
You got it.
Thanks, Ray.
There he is, the Diddy. How dare I disagree with him on three different
everything.
Things?
Yeah, that was unbelievable.
It was.
I'm
not trying to be a heel.
I'm very happy to be on the same side as Ray on all
Well,
three.
James, we'll do a show in the coming weeks on when are they not the champions. Because I'm telling you, I do see it very different. I really, really do.
Wow, that was funny. What did you call yourself there?
I don't know what I said.
You said don't want to be a...
Heel.
Heel. Heel hammer. We've got Horty Hammer.
I like that.
We've got
Joey.
Horty Hammer. We've got Heel Hammer to add to the mix as well.
I like that. Has a nice ring to it.
Are you ready to dive into the story, stats, and personalities that make baseball the greatest game in the world? Rob Bradford from the Baseballs and Boring podcast here, and we'll have you covered every day with podcasts that bring you closer to the action, from the bleachers to the clubhouse. Whether you're a diehard fan or just a casual observer, these conversations are aimed to educate, entertain, and most importantly, inform you. Follow the Baseballs and Boring podcast in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.